Oh, wow. Here we go on a Monday. Welcome to the Grand Forks Best Source on the show today. East Grand Forks Park and Rec's director, Reed Hutton, joins us. Yeah. Oh, we've got a lot to talk about, too. Show today brought to you by Jams Professional Dog Scoopers. You know, Jams Professional Dog Scoopers will clean up and dispose of your dog's doo-doo that's been piling up all winter. You know what? Call now before April 1st to get you locked in for this spring. They got great rates, all right? 701-215-5341 or 701-740-5552 for free estimates. Hey, don't worry about cleaning up your dog pasture this spring. Stick with the best. Jams Professional Dog Scoopers. Call them up today. Have any questions or comments for Mr. Hutton today? Our phone number, 701-213-0863. Again, that's 701-213-0863. Feel free to text or call, all right? Well, before we get too much further into the show, it is time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. So when my son was a child, he asked me, "Dad, what's a forklift?" When my kid was a child, he asked me, "Dad, what's a forklift?" I said, "Food, usually." Come on, man. I can't win with Dale. What did you think of that one?
You know, I will say that's the first one in the times I've been here that I knew what the punchline was going to be.
Did you?
Before you delivered it.
I got to work on that.
That one was on my level.
How've you been, man?
Really good.
Happy New Year, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, Happy New Year to you as well.
You were walked in, and we said, "Geez, we haven't talked in a long time. I see you at the hockey rink at the Civic once in a while. You're still plugging away, reffing high school hockey games," which you are a good referee, by the way.
Well, thank you.
I just one of these times I'd love to go down there and just be able to talk to you guys. Between you and the Lucasen boys, you got those great refs. I absolutely love it. Happy New Year, family. Growing still?
Growing family. Everybody's doing really well, yes.
2.5-year-old girl, 7-month-old boy.
Correct, yeah.
Everything's great. A round of applause. Got skates on them yet?
We did. We have taken my 2-year-old out, and she did not cry the entire time she was
really?
On the ice, so that was a victory, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, she's gotten pretty good, as you mentioned, officiating, with being able to know when dad's gone at night, where he is. He's at hockey. She likes the punchline hockey.
Hockey,
She knows the dad's at hockey a lot.
Does she watch it on TV?
She does, yeah.
Oh, you gotta love it.
She gets a kick out of it.
Love it. Oh, that
she
is awesome.
She enjoys going to the rink. It makes it fun for me to be able to take her there.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Been busy?
Yeah, it's been really good. You know, there's been a lot going on, but all in good. And we're, you know, the youth sports season is well into the depth of the season. We're less than a month away from district tournaments for youth hockey teams, and our figure skating programs have had good seasons, and they're getting ready to start prepping for their annual ice show that kind of wraps up the season. So it's been really good, really busy.
How are the youth hockey teams looking? Are you guys hosting any of the bigger tournaments this year?
We have a couple of big tournaments coming up. Yeah, the third weekend in February 17, 18, 19, we host our Bantam B district tournament.
Okay.
So that's kind of the first round of the playoff tournaments. And then 2 weekends following that, we host the Bantam AA regional
for
the Northwest region in Minnesota. So a couple of weekends of some really big hockey going on in town, yeah.
Now, so people remember that, okay, because this will take into effect of what we're going to be talking about later on. When you guys host these big tournaments like this, a lot of dollars flowing into East Grand Forks, aren't there?
It is a lot. We actually surveyed that last year. We hosted the Bantam State Tournament last year, and we surveyed visitors that came to town. Through the course of the winter, we ran a survey. We found that in winter ice sports within our arenas, at figure skating, ice hockey competitions, the University of Minnesota did a study for us. They estimate that we have $2.1 million in economic spending related to ice sports itself in East Grand Forks.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
For the couple of months, well, longer than a couple of months we have, but a couple of months of hockey, really.
Yeah.
And figure skating. And, I mean, imagine now but
we're talking about 10,000 visitors in East Grand Forks over the course of the ice season from October to March. About 10,000 visitors that come to East Grand Forks. And of those, more than 85% said that the only reason they visit East Grand Forks was for a youth sports competition.
Found
that in the survey answers, they wouldn't have a need to visit East Grand Forks for any other reason.
Right. They're not coming here to see me or you or any asphalt plants or anything. They're coming to watch hockey and figure skating.
Correct. Bringing their kids and getting a hotel room and going out to grab a bite to eat. And
Okay.
You name it.
And when we do get to this 1% sales tax thing, and this is, you know, I get asked my opinion on a lot of things, Reed. Fufong. I don't have an opinion. I do, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I threw in that asphalt thing there. I have an opinion. When it comes to this 1% sales tax in East Grand Forks, I can voice my opinion. I don't like taxes. I hate them. I think we are overtaxed. We're taxed to death and everything. But this is one of those things. I'm also a sports guy. I'm also an outdoorsman. I also know the feasibility of this type of thing that they're going to be doing that brings more money in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we can't compare East Grand Forks or Grand Forks even to Fargo. But you know my kid Alex, you know, he's doing the youth baseball thing over there. Just in the summer, I mean, they're doing tournaments every weekend that are bringing in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 teams. And you talk about just that little bit of a season we have for ice, you know, sports, winter sports, how much money is coming in? So I also look at it this way. If it's a sales tax, that doesn't mean it's all coming out of your pocket or my pocket.
Right.
All these people we talk about that are coming into town, it's coming out of their pocket. But again, we will get to that coming up. I saw something on the Grand Forks Rant and Raves, and I didn't realize this because I've been driving around and I must have been driving in a fog. Are there no outdoor rinks at Eastside this year?
Yeah, unfortunately, there are not.
Okay.
We historically have maintained two outdoor rinks mm-hmm. on our side, Stouse Park and Nash Park.
Yep.
And... you know, the best reason to give and why there isn't is really just a staffing issue.
That's what I figured.
We typically hire a couple of part-time employees to support our full-time park maintenance person with the maintenance of those. We didn't get as many applicants this year as we usually do, so we started the year a little shorthanded. And then we've had a couple of full-time staff that have retired, and we haven't been able to fill their positions in the time. So we've had a little lapse where we've been short employees in the full-time side even, and that combined with just our snow removal duties. When it snows, our first priority is removing snow from sidewalks that are on city-owned properties. Then we remove snow from the Greenway Trail system on the East Grand Forks side, and we remove snow from the safe routes to schools up and down Bigland Road that get kids to the elementary and the middle school safely. And so you can hear as that list goes on, I still haven't mentioned outdoor rinks.
No.
That's lower on the priority, unfortunately.
Yeah.
As hard as it is to say, we're parks and recreation. But the first thing is we got to take care of the safety on the sidewalks and the safety on the greenway trails to get people out and use those the best we can. And unfortunately, this year, due to some of those tough circumstances, we had to just leave the outdoor rinks to be, and they're just not being used. I do tell every time I talk to anybody, we are very fortunate that we have great neighbors. Greater Grand Forks is a great community. The Grand Forks Park District is funded and staffed very differently than we are on our side, and they have great outdoor rinks. So we can still get out to the outdoor rinks. They're open to using Grand Forks.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple little pocket parks in East Grand Forks that some neighbors take care of the rinks.
Yep.
The residents do themselves. And those are open and being used, and people are welcome to go to those because they're on park properties. They're public rinks.
Mm-hmm.
But we just unfortunately didn't have the staff and manpower to be able to take care of those two rinks this year.
And I would imagine, I don't know if you could throw out a number out there, but for those two outdoor rinks, I'm sure it costs a lot to keep those things going. I mean, just the maintenance themselves, hiring somebody in the warming house, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it adds up. I mean, by the time we're done with the season, between utilities, manpower to build them and clean them, and then and staff the warming houses, it's a $25,000 to $30,000 a year venture
sure.
to be able to pull that off.
Sure. I noticed, was it two weekends ago, down at LaFave Park, and I think they started doing this last year. Was there kids' snowmobile races going on down there?
Yeah. I don't recall the name of the snowmobile circuit, but there is. Yeah, it's a kids' circuit. KC Pro, maybe, is what it's called.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Last year was the first year of it.
Yep.
As an East Grand Forks resident that his son participates, or his kids participate in the program. They came to city council and asked if they could use that little parcel of property to build a track. By all accounts, I was out of town last year when it happened. This year I was in town. It looked like a great crowd.
Oh, it did look like a great crowd.
People that came out and all the kids having a great time on their little kiddie snow cats.
Yeah, they were running the 120s and the kiddie cats. And now, on that same note, I mentioned this to you before, I want to know your thoughts. It doesn't have to be East Grand Forks Park and Rec. It could just be Reed Hutton's thoughts. We talk about snowmobiling. big mess on this side of the river when it comes to the Greenway. You got the Red River Valley Snowmobile Club. They want a 7 mile approximately stretch of Greenway that they will take care of. They will do all the maintenance to it. But it keeps getting shot down. Now we did, we were at the Vintage Snowmobile Show in Reynolds last weekend, 2 weekends ago, 95 approximately snowmobiles there. They had one in St. Hilaire this weekend. There was 120 snowmobiles there. East Grand Forks has got theirs coming up here, not this Saturday, but the Saturday after. There's going to be a lot of sleds there, but the thing is, you watch a lot of those guys have to trailer their sleds. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering your thoughts. I mean, with the Greenway, do you think that they should let these guys be able to ride a snowmobile? I mean, it affects you guys because of the East Grand Forks side of the river, because these people want to be able to get to, like, the Blue Moose, mm-hmm. and that area down there and wherever downtown. But Reed Hunting, and I just want your thoughts. What do you think? Do you think they should do this, or do you think they should not? Or are you just going to say no?
It's difficult.
No comment.
I don't know if I can even give you an answer, John, on it. Honestly, I haven't followed it closely enough to know mm-hmm. exactly the issues inside of the Greenway and where maybe the trails would intersect. And I know those are probably, to me, those seem to be the biggest concerns.
Yep.
Because it seems like if you just think of it, the Greenway is a vast space. It's very long north to south. It feels like there should be room to fit mm-hmm. all the users that want to use it in somehow.
Yep.
The snowmobiles certainly have been allowed in past years on the north end into town.
Yep.
On both sides. In East Grand Forks, they're allowed on the north end from the golf course property north to get to basically the Blue Moose is yep. where it terminates. Yep. There is no trail on the east side either that goes south of the Blue Moose, south out of town. There's no organized trail there. You see people using snowmobilers using the Greenway sure. in those spaces.
And there is on Highway 2
yeah.
going out. Yeah.
Correct, but not getting south through sure. the south okay. part of the neighborhood. I think those places where it intersects, and I don't know that those details well enough. I have not gone out and looked at them. I was a part of some initial Greenway meetings when the Snowmobile Club came to propose the idea and ask for permission. And was a little bit involved in some of the discussion about getting the temporary signs out that the club did put out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really intended, I think, to give everyone a visual idea of where it would fit in relation to cross-country ski trails, to the people that want to use it from a pedestrian standpoint for birding. I have every bit of confidence that watching the council discussion last week in Grand Forks and the talk about a joint committee or an advisory group being put together with Mayor Baczynski's leadership. Not a Grand Forks resident, mm-hmm. not a senior mm-hmm. Grand Forks employee.
Sure.
I have every bit of confidence that they're going to have the right people involved to work through it and to make sure they come to the right decision that's best for everybody. I hope and I think that East Grand Forks is going to be a part of that group in some way, because certainly the things that are done on the Grand Forks side and mm-hmm. the Greenway have a potential to affect us as well. In general, I think the Greenway is an incredible place that needs to be preserved.
I agree.
But used by as many residents as possible within a safe setting. So
yes.
However that shakes out at the end is what I'll be on board with, honestly.
Right.
Is whatever's best for the community and from a safety and usability perspective is what I'll be on board with. But I couldn't say for sure one way or another if I lean one direction right now, mm-hmm. John.
And you know, me coming from Thief River Falls, you know, it's a snowmobile community. I mean, they make Articat snowmobiles there. Polaris is made an hour north of that. But East Grand Forks, you can drive your snowmobiles in a lot of areas around East Grand Forks. Now, before I moved over to this or to that side of the river, to the East Grand Forks side of the river, I lived in Grand Forks, and I thought about, because I've been a snowmobile guy my whole life, I thought about a snowmobile or a four-wheeler or both, but then I thought, why? I mean, it's going to sit on a trailer in my driveway. I mean, I'm not sure where you live. Or you're on the east side.
Yeah, I am.
You could probably, I'm just guessing, now, tell me if I'm wrong. Can you start a snowmobile up in your yard and take off and go?
Well, if I needed to go north, the city ordinance in East Grand Forks is that I can only go basically directly to the gas station to fill up my sled. And
okay.
I'm supposed to make the quickest, most direct route mm-hmm. out of town.
Okay.
Or to a, to an approved trail.
But you can.
But I can.
Yep.
I can operate the snowmobile to get to and from a gas station. Where I live, I'm on the very southern edge of town. It's very quick. If I owned a sled, I don't own a sled.
Yeah.
If I did, it's a very quick half a block, and I'm outside city limits.
Okay. 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 Well, then I'm going to throw this your way. I didn't know where you lived. Roundabout over there. This is stuff I didn't have in my notes, but I know they want to put a roundabout over there. What are your thoughts on that?
The roundabout, I stand on the fence on it.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I am in general a believer that roundabouts are good functioning traffic systems.
I agree.
I know there are plenty of places the roundabouts work very well. I wouldn't say that I have a strong sense or feeling towards the proposed location on if it's right or not.
It's just funny when we talk about roundabouts, because the first time you ever go on a roundabout, even the first 10 times, it's like, what the hell? Who's the dumbass who decided to put these? But once you figure them out,
I mean, and
kind of in that area, when you're coming across from Grand Forks to the bridge there, over in that area by Zavarro Park there, mm-hmm. where the stoplights are, a lot of times if you're trying to turn north and get over to mm-hmm. Business 2, that light won't turn.
I know it.
And it, you talk about maddening.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll sit there and sit there and sit there. Well, I'm going to be the first to admit, with the police in East Grand Forks, the last thing I want to do is go through a red light just because it won't turn red, because they don't understand that.
Right.
I know legally you can do it on a motorcycle if you sit there long enough, because some of them are they're tripped by a weight or sure. a scale or whatever. But I was at first against it because I know people that live right over there. But the more I think about it, and with the school being there, I actually think that these people, if they would just sit and go through it, I think in the end they would say it's a better idea. Stoplights are just, all it does is make things worse.
Yeah.
Stoplights and stop signs, you know. Anyway, we haven't even really talked about what I've got you on the show for here, but Reed Hutton and East Grand Forks Park and Recs Director is here. We're going to be talking about the sales tax that's hopefully going to be coming up soon. But we want to give a shout out right now to Ideal Power Solutions for bringing you today's show. Ideal Power Solutions is your electrical contractor serving residential, commercial, and agricultural customers right here in the valley and surrounding area. Installation, replacement and repairs of wiring, outlets, light fixtures, panel upgrades, electrical conduit, and more, Ideal Power Solutions has the training and expertise to tackle any project, big or small. Whether it's residential, commercial, remodels, new construction, ag projects, and custom builds, along with service work, the Valley has an electrical contractor you can count on and trust. Call Ideal Power Solutions in Grand Forks, 701-213-3805 to find out more, or go to idealpowernd.com or find them on Facebook at Ideal Power Solutions LLC. For all of your electrical contracting needs, make it Ideal Power Solutions in Grand Forks. Well, you know, CNH Insurance began with the goal of building an agency with the highest of principles, personalized attention, and service. Well, this concept, well, it remains to be their priority today. They strive to give everyone who walks through their doors special attention and the best customer service possible. You know, their agents have over 50 years of combined insurance experience, and they're licensed in Minnesota, North Dakota, and Arizona. Hey, for all your insurance needs, contact Justin, Jody, or Tammy at 218-773-0287, or you can stop by 1427 Central Avenue Northwest at East Grand Forks. Grand Forks' best source, we insure through CNH Insurance. Maybe you should think about that too. CNH Insurance at East Grand Forks. Reed Hutton and East Grand Forks Park and Recs Director on the show today here on a Monday. Reed, the 1% sales tax, it was passed through City Council. Now it has to go through, what does it need to go through? The law, state lawmakers. But tell us about this, because at one time, I think you were going up to maybe 2%. It was kind of up and down. And then I heard a quarter, then a half, then three quarter. But 1% is the number we're going to go with. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So this is step one of a long sales tax increase request.
Yeah, it's just not up to you guys.
And we're moving through step one for the third time now over the course of the last 5 years, remember. So we've been through a bunch of different scenarios with this. The next step of this is city council approved last week at the council a 1% increase for 20 years, expecting about just about $15 million available to for project funding towards these facility improvements. The next step is we have to go to the state to get legislative approval to vote as a community. So we're asking the legislature at the state level to give us approval to bring this proposal to a citywide vote.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that a couple of times before, and for various reasons haven't been given an answer by the state. And that's the key to me. The first go-around was 2020. We went down with a 1% increase mm-hmm. for 30 years, I believe it was at that time. It's so long ago, I hardly remember. And the state didn't make an answer on it. They got shut down due to all the COVID outbreaks.
Sure.
So no answer was given in 2020. Then we went back in last year in 2022 with a new proposal that was a 1.25% increase over 20 years. And again, we're not given an answer. The legislature had that project included in a tax bill that would have given us the ability to vote this last November. And it didn't get it answered along with a whole bunch of other cities in Minnesota because there was no tax bill passed at the mm-hmm. state level.
Mm-hmm.
It just sat on the table unanswered. And so now we're back again, going back again this year. It is a little pared down. It's now a 1% rather than a 1.25% increase, still over 20 years. So the total funding that we expect to generate is a little less. But the big thing there, I think just locally, the city council thought process on it is we've seen such exorbitant increases in inflation and cost of mm-hmm. goods and services over the years that we want to really do the best service we can to our residents in what kind of tax we're looking at proposing, and at the same time have it fit the project needs we have in front of us to get these recreation facilities back up to speed with what they're expected to be today. And we're hoping that 1% is the number that can get us there.
And you kind of nailed it there, Reed. We want to get these facilities up to what they should be mm-hmm. today, what they should be, not what they should have been 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And I do want to add into that, let's see, Clarence Vetter and Dale Helms voted against it. One of them surprises me voting against it. One doesn't. But again, like we said earlier in the show, you know, a tax is a tax. A lot of people don't like it. Okay, but look at it this way. You're trying to generate, now this would generate almost $24 million. Almost $15 million of that would go to the improvements, the ice arenas, ballparks, things like that. But okay, so if you spend a dollar in East Grand Forks, say to go to Eastside Express or Pops or whatever, you spend a dollar, it's going to cost you a penny.
1 cent.
Right? Yep. Is that really going to break you?
Right.
You know, and again, now we think about this. Okay, you brought a bunch of stuff with you. When they talk about improvements for the ice arenas, what are we saying here? What are we talking about?
Yeah, so, you know, keep in mind that our entire master plan for this project equals out to, at the last time we had the estimates done, it's about $32 million
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in improvements. That includes all kinds of ball field improvements around the Civic Center, additions to the buildings to add new locker rooms mm-hmm. and so forth. But there's going to take a lot of fundraising to get us to that point.
Oh, sure.
And of course, that's a great unknown right now is fundraising. So when we whittle this down to, we're talking about just short of $15 million tax spending plan,
mm-hmm.
If the sales tax was approved, the bulk of those funds really go towards the existing ice arenas we have, the
yep.
Civic Center, the VFW Arena being the two primary ones. That both need a lot of work done. And imagine them when you walk into them, the structures theoretically looking the same they do today as far as the footprint of the building, but almost an entire facelift across the entire arena when you walk in. You're going to have updated parking lots with updated lighting when you pull into the arenas, safe infrastructure for people to be able to walk in and out at all times of night. Comparatively, you go by some of them right now, it's very dark outside.
Yeah.
The lighting is not up to par to mm-hmm. what we expect it to be today. The parking lots are rough and are in great need of repair. And then you step inside the arenas. In both cases, the arenas have no ADA standards met
right,
in them.
Right.
So restrooms you can't get a wheelchair into in some mm-hmm. cases. If you're at the Civic Center and you're on the upper level, and you want to get to ice level, there's no way to do that if
no
you're
way.
In a wheelchair or have yep. mobility issues.
Mm-hmm.
Things even as simple as like handrails. Handrails to get up and down the stairways are non-existent in some of these facilities. So those are going to get brought up to date. And then some of the most important ones that I see from an efficiency standpoint, The HVAC systems, the air quality inside the arenas. A lot of cases now, it's dead air. There is no fresh air return in these locker rooms, so they smell ripe and they're rotten smelling.
You smell a hockey bag, yeah.
And you're newer arenas. When you go to other arenas around our region, and we're fortunate in this part of the country, in North Dakota and Minnesota, we have some of the nicest facilities across the region to go to. You think about all the great arenas Grand Forks has, the Thief River Falls, the Crookston's got a newer arena, the Bemidji's got new arenas, so on and so forth. The expectations are higher. And right now, East Grand Forks, as great as our arenas are, and as much as we love them, they don't meet the expectation from what the user experiences when they go into the arena to play their sports. And then the year-round usability. Right now, they're very stagnant. They're six-month-a-year buildings. They're not set up to be able to be used in the summer months. They're not multi-purpose or multifunctional in what can go on if ice isn't in the rink. What else can we use it for? They don't have much flexibility in that way, and these projects would bring them all up to date so they can be more year-round, more used by more residents on a year-round basis.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Growing up, for me being a hockey player, again, I was done playing in the early 80s, but the East Grand Forks Civic Center was always probably my favorite rink growing up for me. It was warm. It was slow. It was perfect. It catered to my game. And, I mean, we had the Huck Olson in Thief at that time, which was probably the top-of-the-line rink anywhere around here. But, again, this was, okay, I'm going to say 1980, okay, compared to now. You drive up to the East Grand Forks Civic Center, you walk into the Civic Center, and there has been some changes, but basically, if you haven't been there since 1980, you would walk in and think, same thing. Yeah. This is exactly what it looked like when I played here in 1980. Another thing I will say, the locker rooms, without any return, air return or anything. I used to work at a dairy farm, and I played hockey, and I tell you what, a hockey locker room smells a hell of a lot worse than a dairy barn does. I don't care what anybody says. I remember buying our first vehicle for hockey trips. Dummy, I bought a Blazer. Oh, for stupid, you know? Okay, so I got this Bantam Kids hockey bag in the back of it. If we got a friend with, there's more. Dumb. Yeah. But I am going to say this about the East Grand Forks Civic Center best concession stand around. I don't care what anybody says. You know it's bad when the line is so long between periods to go get their stuff that you have to go back and watch the game because the lines are too long. Yeah. That's going to tell you something. But
absolutely.
No, getting back to this, we talked about the money being brought in. We're not up to snuff with the Warroads, with the Thief Rivers, with the Crookstons. Now, I look at it this way. I've been calling hockey, high school hockey games on the radio for many years. And it's always, when it comes to Section 8, it's either going to be Warroad, Thief River Falls, or East Grand Forks. Mm-hmm. Always. As far as I'm concerned, nobody else is going to go to state. At least not in our future. Right. That I can. It's like saying Gretzky's going to lose the scoring title. I just don't think it's ever going to happen in my lifetime. But East Grand Forks, they need to get caught up on the times. I mean, there's such a big pot out there. You see all these tournaments. You see these people coming and spending money in the motels. They're going out to eat, and they're doing all this because they can have these tournaments. East Grand Forks got to get up to par on this.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I think even just for the longevity of the buildings, the longevity of the program, we need to get up to speed. We're at a point now where there's some improvements that have to happen within these arenas. Putting roofs on new arenas and replacing these ice plants, they're very expensive.
And the ice plants,
we're talking about millions of dollars that they're not frill additions to our facilities. They're really taking care of the
guts. They have to be done. So
they've got to be done if we're going to continue to offer these programs. And the sales tax, to me, is a great way to do it, to points you referenced earlier, in that we as consumers are making choices on where we're spending our money. Some of them, you know, there's going to be improvements that are going to have to be paid for as a resident. If I'm going to put my resident hat on of East Grand Forks, the sales tax is the best option for us to be able to fund these improvements, because I sure don't want to see that kind of huge dollar amount added to my property tax at my house each year.
Right.
And to me, that's the bottom line. I mean, you really start to split the sand on it, is some of these things, maybe not all the whole spending plan, but some of it is going to get done no matter what at some point in the future.
And
there's going to be an ice plant that fails. There's going to be a roof that needs to be replaced, and that's how it needs to be funded.
Right. And I'll be the first to admit, I love to shop local. Mm-hmm. I live in rural East Grand Forks. I would just as soon spend all my money in East Grand Forks, but you can't. And again, being realistic, I would say I probably spend a little more on the Grand Forks mm-hmm. side. Just because of logistics and stuff. I mean, I still buy my gas and my beer and most of my groceries on the Minnesota side. But when you think about it, and I would imagine a lot of East Grand Forks residents will agree with me, they spend probably maybe a little more money on the Grand Forks side than they do the East Grand Forks side. So what the hell are you worried about?
Right.
That's what it boils down to. What are you worried about? A 1 cent sales tax. That's a dollar or a dollar one. You know, but these are things that have to be done. We talk about that. Now, again, this has changed a few times over the years. Are they still thinking about anything, LaFave Park, any of that area down there?
Yeah, the LaFave Park project is moving forward.
Okay.
Not included in the sales tax.
So okay.
Oh. Completely separate project from the sales tax funding. But that project is we intend on that happening this summer, that we're going to replace mm-hmm. the boat ramps.
Oh, wow.
It would replace the existing boat ramp, and it would build a new two ramp system, so mm-hmm. it'd be two separate boat ramps, all with a new parking lot. It won't be a paved parking lot, John,
mm-hmm.
But it would have concrete.
Need to be
concrete curb and gutter, so you sure. can help with some of the, hopefully keep it in better shape if we get a ton of rain,
mm-hmm.
And then a gravel pad to be able to drive through and park on. A lot of improvements planned at LaFave Park. Even the street that goes between the softball fields, that park access
yep.
road
yep.
is all going to get completely overlaid. Some new curb and gutter in that area. And that's all funded already. The Greater Minnesota
oh,
Parks
wow.
and Trails Commission, we got a grant through the DNR for that. WIDSETH is handling the design on that project, and it's in design right now with the intent that it's going to go to bid this winter still. And with any luck, if pricing it comes back the way we plan for it to be, it'll get built this summer, mm-hmm. fall, sometime in 2023.
That's huge, because in the summer, pretty much every time you drive by going over the bridge on Demers or whatever, you see the traffic down there. You see guys parked down there. Since the flood, I mean, let's face it, Grand Forks and East Grand Forks, I mean, they were in tough shape.
Yeah.
Grand Forks has done a really good job. East Grand Forks might not have the same amount of money, but East Grand Forks is getting there. When you go into downtown East Grand Forks now, it's nice.
Yeah, it's vibrant.
It is. Yeah. It's nice. And I love the fact that you can walk across a bridge and that whole East Grand, the Grand Cities itself, mm-hmm. but again, it's time for East Grand Forks to catch up, there's so many things I'd like to say, because for a small town that doesn't have a lot of money, I think that maybe it's not all spent the right way, you know, looking at the bridge proposals and things like that. I wish they would focus more on this kind of stuff, because this really, not only is it bringing money into East Grand Forks, but it's our future, these kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do. Okay, you can complain all you want about your kid sitting in the house playing Xbox all day long, you know, or on his cell phone all day long. Well, you never go out and play anymore. Well, get out and play. I mean, bring the facilities, have them all there. They're there for you. Get your kids out. They don't make kids like they used to. They don't make the parents like they used to, is my opinion. All of this stuff is just going to be a win, 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 win for East Grand Forks, in my opinion.
I would agree. I think, you know, The proof to me is in the pudding in the swimming pool project that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And our park and rec programs in East Grand Forks, I think, are funded very well. And
they are, yeah.
Very well. These ice facilities certainly need work and need to get up to speed so that they can continue to serve the residents the way they're expected. But I'll go back to the swimming pool. That was a sales tax project,
yep.
a 1% sales tax
yep.
increase. Certainly not for the number of years that we're talking about over the,
sure.
the ice arena improvements. However, that pool, prior to renovations, was getting somewhere between 8,000 or 9,000 users a summer. Total users a summer that were paying to go in. Since the renovations have happened, we're averaging close to 20,000.
Isn't that crazy? Double
over the course of the summer. We're more than doubled the amount of people that use that pool, and it was completely paid for through sales tax funding.
Yeah.
And I can tell you with absolute certainty that the 20,000 people that are coming to use it are not East Grand Forks residents.
Oh, for sure.
Certainly some of them are, but mm-hmm. the difference, the growth from 9,000 to 20,000, That's not East Grand Forks residents that are making that up. That's people coming from as far away as Thief River Falls.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Buying season passes.
Yeah, because there's nowhere in
our
Thief.
Pool in East Grand Forks. There's no outdoor pool in Thief. Crookston has no outdoor pool.
Nope.
They're coming to use
ours. They used
to. Warren has an outdoor pool, but has had some struggles with staffing and has had residents buy season passes in East Grand Forks rather than in Warren.
Sure.
Right? So we're getting people in from all of these different communities to use this pool. And I think that's where the proof lies in if we invest in our facilities, get them up to the standard that we think they should be at, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay dividends.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you talk about that sales tax for the pool. It was paid off and everything. Okay, now this new one, this 1%, over 20 years, trying to generate about $24 million. So if you get, I'm not sure how this works. So if you get, say you get to your $24 million in 15 years, does that mean it's done, or does that mean everything after that is just a little more icing on the cake?
Yeah, that means it's done. So we're going to tell...
You set a number, you reach the number, it's done. So it might not be 20 years.
It might not be 20 years. If we and I believe we were conservative in what we expect our tax revenues to be, mm-hmm. at 1%. We basically expected 1% inflation annually over the course of a 20-year tax period. Now, you can see what inflation just did to us in the last year.
And 1% is pretty aggressive.
So who knows where that trend will be. But the one thing that we didn't do in looking at it at all is that's saying that East Grand Forks will have no business growth in a 20-year period.
Oh, sure. Right?
So,
sure.
So every time you add more business, you're going to add more tax capacity. And we're not expecting any in 20 years, or we're not counting on any in 20 years when we're putting to that number. So to your point, that's an important piece of this is we're going to ask our voters at the polls on an election day to approve a total dollar amount available to be spent by sales tax. And once that total amount is reached, the sales tax is expired.
Mm-hmm.
So we're telling them we expect that to take 20 years. In the case of the swimming pool, we told voters to expect it to take 5.
Mm-hmm.
It took less than 3.
Sure.
So
if
we stayed on that same trend, yes, we can pay this thing off faster than 20 years that we're talking about and still get great successful projects for our community.
You know, I hear people and I talk to people all the time. Well, I don't have kids that play hockey anymore. I don't have kids that do any of that stuff anymore. Why? I don't want no tax. Again, it's one penny on the dollar. And again, it might not. I don't have kids that play sports anymore either, but I'm a sports fanatic, and I know what this is for kids. I know what this is for the city of East Grand Forks. I mean, just listen to the tournaments you've got coming up. You make these places all better. It's even going to be more stuff going on. People are going to want to come to East Grand Forks to play in a tournament. This is a hockey town. I mean, you got more stuff there. Did we go through everything you've got?
No, we've gone through everything I brought with. Yeah, and the last point I would add to that, John, on your comment you just made, somebody that was on our volunteer building committee when we started to put this design together said this, that their children have graduated from high school and mm-hmm. have moved on. Some are in college. Some are even out of college now. But they're at that point in their life in that 18 to 25-year-old range where now they're trying to decide where they want to set their roots and raise their family.
Do we move or come back home?
This is something that you consider.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in that recently.
Yeah.
I've been in that generation of my life. And Alex, your son, has done the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that people in our age group, in our generation, look for when they decide where to live. It's
sure.
a quality of life situation. And it is when you can choose to live between East Grand Forks, Grand Forks, Fargo or Moorhead, for example, you're going to look at the quality of the schools. You're going to look at public safety.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a safe neighborhood or a safe community to live in? And then you're going to look at quality of life. What are the recreation type offerings for my kids, for myself, for my family? And these are the type of projects that the person that was on our building committee said, I hope that this can get done because I hope it makes my kids want to raise their kids in East Grand Forks.
Absolutely. We read about it all the time. Everybody's moving away. Everybody moves away. Well, give them a reason to stay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Give them a reason to stay here. We've all been there when we were that age. You know, you get done with high school or college and you can't wait to get the heck out. Well, then you do that. And if you're like me, you come back.
Yeah.
You realize, you know what? You can think what you want about what you see on TV about the West Coast or the East Coast or South, but it ain't like it is around here. And man, I love talking to you. We both think a lot alike. I don't like taxes, and I'm sure you don't either, but this is a different deal. You know what? Don't just shudder at the T word, okay? I'm probably going to get some fallout about this show today. There's a lot of people, retired people, friends of mine, they don't want any more taxes. But I think I can pound it into their head saying, hey, you know what? This is really a good reason. And if you know what? I shouldn't say this, but if you're that worried about it, go across the river and spend your damn money then if you're so worried about that penny on the dollar. Reed Huttonen, you're doing a fantastic job. And now I know to call your office instead of you because you actually answer then. But great talking to you. And I know I got a couple of games coming up here at the Civic. So hopefully we'll get to see you. And maybe I'll be able to run down to the glass and say hi to you, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on. We'll see you around the rinks for sure.
And have fun with that family, man. Enjoy it while you can, all right? All right, there you go. Reed Huttonen, East Grand Forks Park and Recs Director. You know what, folks? When that comes time to go on the ballot, vote yes for that 1% sales tax. They want to generate about $24 million, and they're going to make improvements in the ice arenas, the ballparks, all of this kind of stuff. It's all stuff that East Grand Forks absolutely needs. Want to give a big shout-out to Muskox for bringing you today's show. Hey, if you move snow with a skid steer, you've got to see the Muskox difference. A patented back drag feature allows operators to blow snow while back dragging in front of obstructions. You know, garage doors, siding, and fire hydrants. Now, this saves time and money while lowering injury risk by decreasing manual labor. The optional dual auger, called the Dually, helps the operator eat through big snowfalls, ice-crusted snow, and blow more snow while back dragging. And the glide plate, it allows you to glide over grass and gravel without ripping up the soft surfaces. Subsequently, create an instant torque on the lower cutting edge to break up snow and ice to better expose hard surfaces. See the Muskox difference. Go to muskox.com or Facebook at Muskox Snowblowers or call 218-288-1905. See the difference for yourself. It's the Muskox difference. All right, everybody. Hey, the Great Reset is back tomorrow with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. We'll be on at 11 o'clock. Make sure you tune in as we stir the pot about everything wrong in this country today. Where do you start, right? Hey, Kid is in with Common Sense Uncensored at 1 o'clock today. Make sure you enjoy the show. Tune in. It's going to be an awesome one. And remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. You'll never miss a show that way. And become a patron on Podbean, too, to chance for you to qualify for some pretty cool giveaways. Grand Cities is a wonderful place. Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.